do not love the world or the door, I join with them and bow before. Yeah. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. This morning, I am hoping to remind us, including myself, about our relationship with the world. The original world was created to be a place of communion with Father where there's no sin. It is perfect relationship and perfect harmony. However, because of sin, darkness has entered the world and we are thrust into a battle. And every single day we have decisions to make. We have a choice to walk in righteousness or a choice to fall into darkness. To be honest, sometimes I feel like living a life before knowing Christ was so much easier and it's a little more straightforward because you don't really know between right and wrong and you just sin. And so you're kind of thrust into this buffet and of pleasures, right? You have all the good stuff, all the bad stuff. You don't know how to discern between the good and the bad. And who doesn't want to feel good? Who doesn't want to feel accepted? Who doesn't want to feel accomplished or to feel love? Who doesn't want money, right? Who doesn't want to have luxurious trips and all of these things anytime you want it? And in this world of buffet, you can actually pick and choose, you know, your healthiest selection of salad, and then you can go and find your oiliest fried chicken. And this is the dilemma in our lives, right? We always have to choose. We need to be plunged into this world of temptation, of fun, of goodness, of light and of dark. And when we become a Christian, we often carry these old things and old ways of life into our new life. And then it becomes a little difficult. And it's a constant tug of war, right? You kind of have to balance between choosing the pleasures and then feeling guilty about it. And so how do we overcome it? How are we supposed to walk into this world as believers? What are the things that are coming our ways? When we become a believer, our eyes are now open. Now we have a moral compass within us. And suddenly you see the dangers and the folly of the world, realizing the emptiness we have exchanged for the temporal pleasures of this world. It is then that we realize that we have sinned and suddenly this emptiness in our heart is revealed to us. So once we have received the love of the Father, that hollow part of our heart is filled with a supernatural type of love, which enables you to feel accepted, loved, outside of this created world, beyond this created world, because we have found our Creator, the one who loves us and knows us completely. So here in this chapter, John is talking to us Christians, us believers, reminding us of this truth to highlight the dangers of the world that can cause us to be so captivated by it and to be cold towards God. So can we actually be so captivated by the world that we put God aside? Is it really a threat? Are we able to overcome it? I mean, yes, but there is also a real sober threat to us. In 2 Timothy 4:9-10, Paul was talking to Timothy and he says, "Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." It's in the Bible. People have walked away, right? And so this is something that we need to be conscious of and know that, wow, every single day I ought to make the decision. How much do I love this world? How much am I willing to give to God? Right? if this world is a fallen world, then how can the ways of this world, the structures of this world, the culture of this world be one that is truly good for us? Unless we go to God and understand His kingdom values, His kingdom structure, and His culture, otherwise we will really be just trying to work our way around this world and probably being hit left and right. Because the ruler of this world is the devil. He is the major influence on everything in this world. The ideals, you know, the materialism, the positions we see, views on different areas, including education, commerce, philosophies. He's the major influence. So who are we going to be influenced by? Are we going to read and look into and hear the voices of this world and move with it and go into this world's culture, go into this world's morals and ways? Or are we going to stand strong and hear what God has to say? What is His way? Right? And it may be controversial because we may be the few minority compared to the majority of this world, but the truth is in us. And it is the truth that will set us free. And we need to know and walk in it. And the devil loves to tempt us, right? And here he talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So, broadly speaking, you know, he likes to appeal to our carnal appetite. So the lust of the flesh is the desires for things that will satisfy our bodily likes and desires. For instance, like sex, pleasures. The lust of the eyes is, I want to see it. I want what I see. It is the eyes of envy, the sin of covetousness. And pride of life, the desire for popularity, to be seen as important, to have this position, the arrogant spirit of self-sufficiency. Carnal appetite is not all bad, and but it really depends on how you choose to satisfy them, right? So for instance, sex is a good thing, but the world is telling you, oh, just, you know, go with whoever you want, whenever you want. You should try it out before you get married. And money is a good thing too, but the world is saying, oh, you need to make more of it. You need to get certain things, and we become a slave of it. Authority is a good thing. If we don't have authority, with authority, your voice is just so much louder. You have a greater platform until we begin to demand it from people. So when we satisfy our flesh illegitimately, our blessing becomes a curse. The world we live in is inherently hostile to us because it is inherently hostile to God. Jesus said in John 15:18-19, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. John warns us in 1 John about the desires of the flesh. And it's all summed up in those three categories. So, how do we overcome it, right? What are we going to do about it? Now we know, okay, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, right? What am I going to do about this to get out of the system of this world, to enter into the way of God? So very briefly, today I just want to share three minor things, like 3 points. For the lust of the flesh, basically it's all desires are centered in our nature without regard to the will of God. It craves for its own convenience, just wants to satisfy now, right now, right? Galatians 5:16, it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So Galatians 5 gives us the key, Right. Number one, what are we going to do if we are walking into the lust of the flesh? Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And, you know, it goes on to talk about what are some of the things that are lust of the flesh, right, that satisfies our flesh. But in the end of this, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right. So what do we need to do to come against the lust of the flesh is to get ourselves out of ourselves. Look less on ourselves, but look more onto others. Walk by the Spirit. Walk in love. Walk in gentleness. Care about another person. You know, to come against this flesh, we need to walk by the Spirit. For you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So I think this is really such a good reminder for me, you know, to know that, oh, when I want this, when I want to satisfy the desires of my flesh, think about another person. Pray for another person. You remember someone who's in need, you know, or a group of people that you see. You know, start thinking and moving out of yourself into another person's life and to bring God's love in. Lust of the eyes, being captivated by an outward show of materialism. So Matthew 6, you know, the whole chapter on anxiety and do not worry. And in 23 it says, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Your eyes are closely related to your heart. Your heart should only be serving one master, God, not money. And in an earlier verse on 19, it says, he reminds us not to lay our treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. See, one of the ways to counter the lust of the eye is to remember Matthew 6 and not to be anxious about your life. God has a plan. And most importantly, when we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added onto you as well, right? His formula is quite simple. All he says is, come to me. I know what you need. I know what's good for you. And I don't want to give you too much as well. We have to trust in God because what he gives is the perfect amount. It's perfect for you. He knows what you are able to handle. And by his grace and with his love, sometimes he doesn't overgive, right? But you know, it's those moments where sometimes you feel like, oh, I don't know, God, I'm lacking. And it's these little moments where he drops you a gift that you realize, wow, my Father loves me so much because he sees, he remembers. It is these little moments that are so precious that you get to encounter him. But it depends on your attitude. Are you going to be like, I'm lacking here, God. I can't believe you're doing this, blah, 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 blah. You hate me. You're an unloving Father. Are you going to say that to God or are you going to go to him and say, God, I am in need. I need you to come here with me. I need you to walk with me. I'm seeking your face. I'm seeking your kingdom. And then he drops you a surprise. And then you're like, wow, my daddy loves me so much. He has his ways of touching our hearts. It depends on what we choose and how we choose and whether we open our eyes and give him the opportunity to bless us. So lust of the eyes is to remember, do not be anxious. Seek him, seek God, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And finally, pride of life, to counter the spirit of self-sufficiency, the pride of self-accomplishment, the desire for status and recognition, we need to remember, well, I guess, how Lucifer fell. Lucifer was a perfect angel, but he desired to be worshipped instead. He let pride come in, and therefore he fell. So in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I feel like this almost speaks about Lucifer directly. Remember, God is our creator. He is our good father. He is our provider. He is our defender. He is the one who gives us favor and the ability to make money. He designed you in a unique way that only you can do certain things. in 1 Corinthians 4:7, it says, "For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" We need to remember everything we have is actually from God. He is our creator. He was the one who knitted us in our mother's womb. He knit every fiber, every DNA, every cell in us. How can he not have a plan? How can he not know what gifts you have? How can he not know how smart you would be, how capable you can be? Everything you have was already in his control. There's nothing you can do that is outside of him. So today, to counter the pride of life is to know and to remember that our Father is our maker, that he knows everything, that we have everything in him, but not only that, he's the one who gave us everything. I want to spend this time, the next little bit of time, inviting Nikki for worship, and just to allow God to search our hearts today and ask him, God, have I succumbed to the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life? God, are there any areas that I've been walking that had been in accordance to the ways of the world more than to you? Let's spend this time to allow God to search our heart and then decide to crucify it. Decide to send this part of you on the cross where the finished work of Jesus had already canceled it, had already dealt with it. So let's take a moment in reflection.
Down before him, before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. We are so thankful that you have given us forgiveness and freedom. We want to bless you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Shall we come over to the front and spend some time in prayer?